We'll call this meeting to order, continuation of the Lincoln County Public Budget Meeting. Start with the budget message for the Board of Commissioners, Mr. Hunt.
Well, we've read it Monday night, we paraphrased it Tuesday night. I believe everyone in the room is familiar with it except former Mayor Ralph Gutzmacher. Ralph, would you like me to paraphrase the message? What's your pleasure?
The budget message?
Yeah.
I can go without that.
Okay. All right. We aim to please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jess, would you like to paraphrase yours?
Sure. Lincoln County budget message is for year 2019. This budget document portrays the expected financial performance of Lincoln County for fiscal year 2018-19. All funds are presented as balanced between revenue and expenditures as required by Lincoln Revised Statutes Chapter 294. This document is organized on a fund basis. County funds are budgeted and accounted for on a modified accrual basis of accounting. Property tax revenue is the single biggest source of revenue for the county. The county's permanent tax rate remains at $2.82 per thousand of assessed valuation. Other major revenue includes intergovernmental revenue, grants and payments received from federal, state, and other local governments, a 10% transient room tax, permits and fees charged for specific activities in the county, and charges for services, amounts charged for direct services provided by the county. The 2018-19 budget totals $97,938,734. Combined countywide contingency and reserve categories amount to $22,431,615, which is 23% of the total county budget. The total general fund proposed budget is $42,908,703. The combined contingency and reserve categories for the general fund for fiscal year 2018-19 are estimated at $5,453,128, 12.7% of the total fund. And that concludes my summary.
Thank you.
If I might, I will go back and just point out that we, in our budget message, addressed the behavioral health situation where there is a decline in revenue, and we've determined that less than projected, we have just recently determined that less than projected revenues this year and a cut in a reimbursement rate for next year will result in a reduction of services and personnel within the health division of the Health and Human Services Department. And generally speaking, that's a result of cuts in reimbursement rates. And we believe we've now at least balanced or stabilized the staffing to meet the or to be supported by the revenues. And Ralph, I will give you this paper version of the entire budget message from the commissioners. But wanted to address that issue because it has been a topic of considerable discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go with the discussion of the budget document by the Budget Committee. Does anyone have any comments, questions, clarifications, elucidation of facts?
Everybody's looking at me.
Nope. Seeing none. Open it up to audience input or testimony.
I don't wear any hats anymore, but I'm still active in the local museum, the Railroad Museum. And one of the things we've been trying to do for years is to get an allocation that more meets our needs. What you all have been doing since 2009, when I arrived on the scene, is you've been granting a percentage increase, which is nice. It's appreciated. But what that means is that the people, the 800-pound gorilla at the table gets 3% on 800 pounds, and the 100-pound weaklings get 3% on 100 pounds. And I would like to propose, and I don't expect it this year, what I would like you to think about it for the future, that there are five museums operating in the county. We generate tourist visits. We actually generate international tourist visits. We keep logs. We have volunteers. And what I would like to suggest to you is that you have a funding mechanism that recognizes how many hours people are open and fund perhaps a full-time position at maybe $20,000 per year plus fringes. And then have a formula that recognizes the museum's own efforts on raising funds and provide matching funds in two categories. Donations and other funds. Let's say, for example, we get a grant from the tribe to do some rehabilitation work, or like this year we had a grant from Georgia Pacific to do some rehabilitation work. That you would match that on a 1-to-1 basis, a 2-to-1 basis, maybe even a 3-to-1 basis. And then the third one is own funds generated from memberships. So we charge a nominal membership for our people to join, to get newsletters, things like that. And by generating that membership base and generating the money from that membership base, we do our museum effort a lot better than we would have to do that. So for funding purposes, I'd like to see that recognized as well. So whatever funds the local museums raise from membership and membership donations, those kinds of things, that also be considered as some sort of match that comes from the county. I just don't think it's fair that it's just done on a whatever you can afford percentage basis each year, and some people get $30,000 and some people get $600. And that's my pitch. And again, I don't expect it. I don't expect it this year. I don't expect it next year. But I think it would be nice if we moved from from the legacy way of doing it to recognize all the museums who bring money and tourists into the county.
You're talking to a person who loves museums.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I'm a person who loves museums. My wife and I, every other year, spend a month, 6 months, or 6 weeks traveling around the U.S. and Canada. And we go to museum after museum, the big ones and the little ones. And the little ones are delightful, and we find out phenomenal things. And it does draw us to communities. We stay overnight in the little town, usually. In fact, last fall, we succeeded in seeing the museum I've wanted to see for years. And over my wife's objections, we went to the largest ball of twine in Kansas. There are three in the United States. This is the real one. So it is a moneymaker for communities. I really believe that.
Well, I'm the Thursday docent, so I can see you tomorrow at 10. If you want the three-hour tour, I can give you the three-hour tour. If you want to just stop in and sign the guest book in 10 minutes, we can do that as well. But we have a half-time employee. We used to have, through the Experience Works program, a half-time person helping with maintenance. And that program's gone. It's being administered in Salem, and nothing's happening locally. Which is unfortunate, but we've got wood that's rotting and metal that's rusting because we don't have enough time to get out there and prime it and paint it. So it's we need another half-time person to just do maintenance to keep up, you know, or as you like to say, to keep ahead of the rust that comes in from the coast. So it's I had to go today to get a 3/4-inch coupling and some glue to glue plastic pipe together. It's all volunteers, and we're all doing it. It would be helpful to have a little bit more funding that is dependable so we can carry on this mission throughout the year. We're open 20 hours a week all year round.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
No other audience input?
Yes, I would.
Please do.
I'm Cheryl Hall, and I am here because I would like to advocate for the Health and Human Services budget for mental health and addictions to be restored. I am here to say that there is $1.83 million in unspent mental health revenue in the account known as 219-100 Capital Projects. Needs for this purpose. The funds were placed in that account when the county was planning to build a building in court in the South Courthouse parking lot so that all new Court Health and Human Services would be located in the same building. However, I understand those plans were recently scrapped because the site did not pass the required environmental tests. So none of the $1.83 million is general fund. Our communities need more, not fewer, mental health and addiction services, especially to support the county's Stepping Up initiative. So I believe it is right and just for the Budget Committee to invest the money and restore the $1.7 million in cuts that were recently made to the mental health and addictions budget. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present.
One of the commissioners' addresses, I'm sorry, I don't remember which one.
Doug did, I think.
Well, we've discussed it at length, and first of all, I think it's important to realize how we got in this situation in the first place. And, you know, unfortunately, the current budget that we're operating under was overly optimistic in its estimation of revenues. The actual revenues that we've incurred are almost $2 million, or some 20% below what was budgeted. And there was a failure to recognize the fact that the revenues were not up to the level that were expected and make adjustments to staffing to avoid the $1.7 million deficit that we incurred. I think it's important to realize that that's a 10-month deficit because we made changes and balanced the staffing to match the revenue sources. At a 10-month period, had we allowed the expenses to continue to be incurred through the rest of the fiscal year, we would have been looking at over a $2 million deficit. And so when you look at the $1.7 million that was set aside for the health center, wellness center, which has not been shelved, we are, and we talked about this last night, we're still committed to building that. So taking the $1.7 million to fill the deficit would not restore the services. It would put the county in a situation where we're hiring staff knowing that we'd have to lay them off in 10 months. And having just gone through that, I don't support hiring people with the expectation that they'll be laid off before the end of the fiscal year. You could suggest, well, if we hire the people, they'll come and there'll be the demand for services. And again, let's clarify, we all agree that there's a crisis. The issue is, how do we get the people to come to the county so that we can get reimbursed for those services? And so, yeah, we could take the $1.7 million, we could hire people, we'd have to fire them in about 10 months, and then we'd go through the same turmoil that we've gone through. Whereas we have the ability to build the caseloads, and as those revenues are generated, hire people to provide those services. So if, in fact, we did take that $1.7 million, we also wouldn't have the ability to build the wellness center, which at one time was your passion. And still continues to believe some be something that I believe the Board of Commissioners last night agreed that we want to continue to build that. So the $1.7 million sounds like an easy solution, but it would really put us in a situation where we'd have to do it all over again. We tried that once. It didn't work. So let's balance the budget. Let's create a stable source of revenue. And as we have that stable revenue, we can increase our services and avoid the disruption and tragic situation where having to lay off employees and people that are getting services are having the people that they're dealing with change. So it's a one-time solution. It would cause, again, a lot of pain and misery to staffing. And would eliminate the ability to build the health center, which I believe has great value to increase the efficiencies and accessibility of services.
Thank you.
Do you have further question on that, Cheryl? Or?
Well, I do. My question is that the plan to take, to lay off people with the hopes of hiring them again, I think it's quite well known that, especially for clinical counselors, the clinical counselor fives, fours and fives, who actually do the services, the county has had a very difficult time filling those positions. It's taken a long time to fill the positions, and so having staff currently to be able to provide those services will mean that you can build caseload and meet the revenue expectations versus trying to, if you don't hire those individuals back with this $1.7 million, trying to find people to fill those positions later on. I think that the county has worked very hard to look at effective and efficient hiring practices. I think Mr. Herford can address that and what's happened since he's been here to be able to attract quality candidates and retain quality candidates. So if the goal is to try and build services again, it seems like long-term and short-term, putting that money back into keeping those individuals that are already here is going to work best for the county to be able to achieve what you just stated the goal is, to have services be built. So,
as I said, we've tried that and it didn't work, so that's my feeling.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any questions? Other related businesses? We will continue the meeting then to May 30th, 2018. Probably at the Board of Commissioners conference rooms, unless it's modified, changed.
We have a little more control over that.
At this final meeting, we will receive public input, conduct deliberations, and act on motions. So, see you on the 30th.
Thank you.
Hey, good then.
Thank you.